RatedR.com.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. I'm Sunday DeMorello.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
Hey, what's up? This is Kaz.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
It's a Mario time.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Make my heart go bada bing, bada boom, bada ba.
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Hot spaghetti meatballs and pizza pie.
Heartbreak Mike.
Ah, mamma mia. Spaghetti. Ravioli. A Princess Peach.
The Omega.
Help me beat the Bowser and save a Princess Peach.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
You rock!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
I love Wrestle Talk Radio, and so should you.
WTR Sunday Night.
Money! Money, 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 money!
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. A little later than we planned because Money in the Bank decided to give us like that extra 30 minutes that we weren't expecting.
I was expecting like 10.
Yeah, like a little bit of truth. Great. in WWE's report of warning pay-per-view providers. We're going to go over a lot more often lately.
Yeah, we probably will. And we have a great story to open up this show with.
Oh, yeah.
And it had, and it had nothing to do with the pay-per-view either. Kind of it does, but doesn't.
Okay.
Anyway, talk. Yeah. Intro, people.
Shit went down tonight.
Yeah, it did.
We have things to discuss. So, first off, I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, Heartbreak Mike.
So, that happened.
That happened.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah, we will get to it in due time.
We'll get to this. In due time.
Like, yeah, but we're still not. Holy shit.
Where did
WWE find those balls?
They found them somewhere.
Yeah, they found them. No Tim Stein tonight, as it is Father's Day, and the man is off with his son for the evening. So, just us.
Just us, three of us. This is WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Add on TuneIn Radio, search Wild Talk Radio Network. It's free, get the app. You can listen like Tim is doing right now.
Hi, Tim.
Because
I'm pissing on your seat.
Because Mike doesn't know this part. So Mike just realized Tim's not here tonight. So I've been sending messages to Tim on Skype, and he goes, "Let's see." He goes, "Who won the case?" I said, "Dean," and I just said, "You know, Rollins just won the belt." And I go, "He goes, ha, what? Here comes Dean. You're bullshitting me because I'm not watching."
Oh my god. Like, I'm sitting here, and I'm like, okay, watching it, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, I turn around, I'm like, this actually happened. Wow.
All right, so we're going to break format, and we're just going to go, holy shit balls, did Dean Ambrose just win a thing?
Dean Ambrose just won all the things.
He won all the things.
No. Wait. Fuck that. Lindsay won all the things.
I have no eardrums because the scream was really, really loud twice. One for him winning the case and then the title.
Are you short of Wyatt showing up in the match and doing exactly what Dean did tonight? I don't think you would have gotten much louder.
Yeah. That's pretty much the case.
Wow.
This was a weird show overall.
It was.
It was a weird show that sort of dragged at parts, and then you go, oh god, we still have the main event, and it's 10:52, what the hell's going on here? Well, we can see why they went long, but holy Jesus.
It ran over, he ran over just like a job out father of the year on Father's Day.
I totally forgot that that match was still happening. That match was supposed to happen.
Yeah, like we were coming up to about main event time. And wow, that's not a whole lot of time for the main event. It might be going like 10 minutes over. So, and then Lana comes out. Oh, all right.
Oh yeah. They were supposed to have a match.
They had a match, which we'll talk about here in just a little while. But before we get really going, who watched the pre-show?
I missed the first match.
Ooh, look, a cloud.
Okay. So I missed the first match as well, which was Golden Truth beating Breeze Dango. I've seen some pictures, and then I saw the highlights during the show.
It was a good word.
Not ooh, so, it's just ooh, yeah. It was a thing. They got really, really tan together and really burnt tan, and they had pus and everything. It was a thing. It's the best way to put that one.
Yeah, Breeze Dango looked like a couple of rejected Sesame Street characters.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's a good apt way to put it. Go ahead.
Come over along. Like, how did the tanning segment go? Because God forbid I actually watch something like that.
So they start chopping them, and then it just start peeling off. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, that sucks and unfortunate. And I'm just like, okay, I want to know who their makeup artist is, because that's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. So they on the Raw pre-show on Monday night, they did a skit where they were doing a tanning booth thing together. No tan lines. Hashtag no tan lines. So they get in it together. Why? I don't know. Then you have the Golden Truth.
To compare selfie sticks.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got in there, and then Golden Truth showed up and then turned the knob all the way up.
So we've gone into this match where Golden Truth has given second-degree burns to their opponents before the match.
6 days later, this was.
Well, live time, TV time.
Yeah.
But they're the good guys. They horribly burned their opponents and then proceeded to beat them up in a match. They're the good guys.
It's what's up? I got nothing.
Nope.
Two guys are just trying to get a tan before their pay-per-view match, and two guys were looking to mutilate their opponents. And
no, ma'am. Not today, Satin.
They're the good guys.
Yeah, okay.
The fuck?
It's a thing. So Golden Truth finally got their first win as a tag team. I'm sitting here going, thank you, Tim, for allowing me to get R-Truth and Goldust.
Yeah.
Double points. Woo woo.
Fuck you, Tim.
So there was that.
Oh no, they're gonna be individual. Like, I take the New Day as individual, because I'd be rocking.
Nice way to put that. Sammy was talking to Cesaro about friendship. Cesaro wanted to focus. We had the Dudley Boys take on the Lucha Dragons. This was all about the Lucha Dragons being bullied by the Dudley Boys.
I forgot all about that match.
It was a thing. Selena Del Sol and then the Dragon Bomb for the win, Lucha Dragons. It was a match. It was fine. Typical TV match.
It's not TV, though, technically.
Okay. Old school Sunday Night Heat match? I don't know. Before a pay-per-view? It was a match. Lucha Dragons won. People should rejoice. Even though Kalisto at one point was supposed to be in the Money in the Bank match. So, we then get to the main show. Opens up with a cool video package about Vegas and all the stuff. I thought it was good. And then we got the tag team titles. New Day, End Zone Cast, Vaude Villains, Fatal 4-Way. And the club in the Fatal 4-Way.
So many botches.
Yeah, we'll get to the boxes. This,
My
thing is, this was a Fatal 4-Way. So when I hear Fatal 4-Way, shouldn't it be one person from every team be illegal at all the times?
WWE logic.
That's how I figured a 4-Way would be.
The 4-Way in WWE has always been two guys legal at once, but you can tag anybody.
Okay.
I forgot which WrestleMania that was.
It's been a while.
Or was that even a WrestleMania thing?
It probably was. I think the APA were involved. APA...
Deadly Boys, Edge and... Yeah, that happened.
I would want to say 18, 19, one of those.
18, because it had Billy and... Oh, God, that was a thing.
And speaking of what a thing was, what the hell was Enzo wearing?
All of Vegas. He was wearing Vegas.
MGM and all.
I did like the ace up his sleeve. That was clever.
It was. And we had the New Day, who called them the elite team. Elite tag team. Taking shots. A little bit.
A few.
This was a good match until the sort of finish.
So I'd like to congratulate Enzo and Cass on their first WWE Tag Team Championship.
Yeah.
Because holy shit, was that ever a three count?
Because I wrote in my notes, air Enzo to count as Enzo got pulled out. Sounded like three.
It did. It did. And I was like, when I saw the three count, I was like, oh my God, I did it. I finally got points. And then I was just like, fucking referee, man.
And then we knew we were in trouble in this paradise as Kofi missed the trouble in paradise.
Immediately after, botched trouble in paradise.
Yeah.
Like as soon as that, cause it was Gallows who was out of position. Like mm-hmm. he didn't get to the pinfall in time to pull Enzo off. Mm-hmm. And after that, the match just like fell apart. Like it just completely lost its rhythm.
I think they were tired.
They were working too fast. Like, they were told, you gotta go home and get all your spots in, and they just sort of went for everything.
I think that was what the referee was like, come on, bring it home. You gotta bring it home.
And they're like, we have like 1,700 spots left, so we're gonna hit them all right now.
Spot monkeys.
This is sort of what happened. Anderson and Gallows destroyed everyone. Magic Killer in English. Two count. Biggie broke it up. And then, there was a spot where there was Big E broke it up, put was it Anderson? Yeah, I think it was Anderson on his shoulders and was going setting up for the big ending, the double team. And you have Gallows there, just standing there as his partner's being picked up, waiting for Cass to do his spot.
That was a Festus moment. I don't care what anyone says. He stood there and just looked with his tongue out.
Oh, of course, someone hit the ring bell.
That was a Festus moment, I'm sorry.
He just stood there, watching. It's like, your partner's about to take the double team. Maybe you want to stop it? Maybe someone
wants maybe.
Nothing?
But no, wait, Cass got up, finally. I can go run at him. But your partner's right there, 2 feet to your left, right. That's all you had to do.
Where's Vicky? God damn it!
Not 10 feet straight. Go to your left, and you've been cool. Then, in English, just laying there dead.
Yeah. And, yeah, Aiden English sold Magic Killer for about half a century.
That's what happened. Dead. Kofi picked up the win on English after they hit the double team big ending.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Tonight, Magic Killer, holy shit. By far the most powerful finisher ever.
This is very, very true.
But yet the Haluva kick does nothing.
Oh, there's a tweet I'll have to find for later in the show. So New Day retained the WWE Tag Team titles. Looks like we're probably going to get New Day and the Club in the tag team battle here coming up soon for the titles. We had Jericho talking backstage. He talked about Crane Money Bank. Then there was Owen. He interrupted Owens and told Jericho he needed a mint. Then Del Rio showed up, called everyone dogs.
Perro.
And Jericho was giving us the gift of Jericho. Owens will stick to water. Jericho just stood there with his arms wide open. Here I am, all in my glory. Take me in. That's what it was.
I love Troll Owens.
Troll Owens is good. We had Baron Corbin taking on Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler continues to work on his HBK cosplay.
Oh, shut up.
It's true. You look at the tights. He's trying really, really hard.
He is.
But instead of the hearts, he has skulls.
That's the only difference. Even the boots are getting eerily similar.
Just rage.
Skull Break Kid?
Skull Break Kid, that
Which might work, except for how many concussions he's had.
a little too close to home on that.
Oh, that's too close.
Glad he wasn't the Money in the Bank with Del Rio.
Yeah. So Corbin was in control for a while. Ziggler would make his comebacks. They teased the Fame Master a bunch of times. He hit it on the third attempt for a two count. And this is where, as Omega put it, Corbin saved Ziggler from botching a move.
This is incredible to me. Okay, so Ziggler is going for one of those run around on the outside and like jump off the corner steps.
The Jeff Hardy spot.
He's going for, well, he's not walking the barrier.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, he's trying to get a running, turning jump off the stairs. Catches his foot and trips over the stairs. Corbin, the NXT guy, the guy who's only been on the main roster since Mania, was fast enough to catch him and save the spot.
Yeah, he would end
Holy shit.
He would end up hitting the deep six on the outside, but yeah, he did save him.
That's what you get for trying to be Shawn Michaels.
It just amazes me. Like, okay, that's a level of ring awareness I would not have expected.
Yeah, he's learning.
He's learning quick, actually, honestly.
Yeah, he is. Ziggler would beat the 10 count. End of days, attempt no super kick for a 2 count. Ziggler would eventually get knocked off the top rope, and the end of days for the win, Baron Corbin.
And we please let him wrestle someone else now.
The announcers were putting it over. This could be the end of the feud.
Please!
Please,
dear God.
For the love of everything holy.
No, Battleground. We have to have the rubber match in this best of 83 series.
Please stop, because I'm going to Battleground. I promise you. Oh, my God.
So you're going... Okay, we'll figure that one out.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we really do. So Corbin picks up the win. This was, what, match 4 in the series? 5?
4.
Including all the TVs matches.
Intern,
the match where Ziggler just kicked him in the balls and left.
Intern, I need a count. Is this 4 or 5?
Yeah.
Do we count that?
Yeah, it counts.
The bell rang.
Bell did ring. There was a winner. So we'll get back to that one. So I found this out leading into this matchup. It's Charlotte and Dana Brooke taking on Becky Lynch and Natalya. The women got their match time cut on this show. They got their time cut. On the show that went to almost 11:30, they got their time cut.
This is after the women only got, what, a 2-minute match? And it was Paige, who hasn't been relevant in forever? Good job, WWE. Your women's division's in the sewer again.
So, this was an okay tag match. The girls tried. They really did. Some nice double teamwork by Becky and Natty. Becky was on the House of Fire after getting a hot tag. Sharpshooter, Dana made the save. Becky got thrown into Natty. We hit natural selection. Your winners, Charlotte and Dana Brooke. And then Natty tears up. She's all upset. And then heel Natty strikes. She attacks and lays out Becky Lynch. So Natty has gone to the dark side.
So, okay. So WWE. I would just like to point out that Becky Lynch is now your only face in your division. Like, your only solid face.
Oh, well, yeah.
And Becky Lynch, I don't know if you paid attention, she hasn't won a match in 4 score and 7 years.
4 scores and 7 years ago, I remember Becky Lynch won her first match in WWE.
And we're still waiting for the second win.
So, circling...
Great booking! And meanwhile, the most popular diva you've had in years, still not back on TV.
Tomorrow.
Uh-uh.
Wasting her. Letting her... You can't let her get cold like that.
Tomorrow, Becky needs a friend.
It's Bailey! Okay.
No, too soon.
No.
Too soon.
No, they'll go through Sasha first. Like, they'll do Charlotte and Sasha for a while, and... Then only then will they even think about bringing Bayley to the roster. Because if they're leeching NXT for the brand split, you know she's gonna come up.
So after SummerSlam.
Yeah. To clear up a couple things, Becky has won her last 2 television matches. She beat Charlotte by DQ, and then she beat Dana Brooke by submission. And if you count main event, she also beat Summer Rae.
No, we don't count main event.
Not in fantasy. No, we don't. But that's what it was. And circling all the way back to Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler, according to the intern. That was match number 6 on television pay-per-view.
Hey.
They could technically do one more. They could do one more.
End it. Never again.
Wait, you said this was match 6?
That was match 6 between the two.
Oh god, please don't tell me they're doing a hidden best of 7 series.
If it was...
I don't think Ziggler's come out even if they did.
Yeah, I think he would have won the best of 7 in the 6 matches.
Not here. Publicly, yes, but privately, no.
So many things to submit. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Oh, so circling all the way back, because I forgot I did this, because, you know, Dean Ambrose became a thing. Going back to the New Day thing, I did clip this.
How are you doing?
Dear God.
Forgot all about that, so I wanted to make sure I got that into the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you for that audio.
You're welcome. We had Sheamus taking on Apollo Crews. Before that, Dean Ambrose was backstage and he talked about how beating up Seth Rollins is fun. little foreshadowing on that one. So Sheamus and Crews was a match. Sheamus got cocky, hit the white noise from top rope, lazy cover. Crews with the roll up for the win.
Match was solid, but a roll up though. Sheamus went taking that moonsault.
It's an okay match. I got bored.
Yeah.
It's just
Sheamus.
Yes, it's Sheamus. It's absolutely Sheamus. But there's just long stretches of this match where it's just them is just them punching and clotheslining each other, and it gets very tedious.
Sounds like a filler match to me.
Yeah, can someone throw a wrestling move in here, please? Give me. I need a slam. I need a suplex. I need something. Dear God, anything.
So I referenced a tweet I needed to read. Rockstar Spud of TNA fame goes, why does a roll-up always work, but not a super kick to the head anymore?
Jesus.
He has a valid point.
He does.
He does. Give that man points.
Not that I tend to agree with men named after potatoes.
But, you know, that was a thing that happened. So Apollo Crews gets a big win, his biggest win so far, as the announcers were screaming. And then...
Please give him a personality so I can cheer for him.
You want to talk about cheering? This crowd woke the hell up. John Cena, AJ Styles.
Jesus.
Ooh.
Fun fact, today is June 19th. TNA's first pay-per-view was June 19th, 2002. June 19th, 2016, it's AJ Styles and John Cena, 14 years later.
The irony. And make it so bad. WWE had to pull out the WCW tapes. That's what killed me.
Oh, that threw me back. Oh God, I'm watching a WWE paper. I'm watching a WWE pay-per-view and I just saw the Thunder logo.
Right. So, you don't even New Japan.
Instantly, WCW Thunder more relevant than when it was on the air.
Well, yeah. So the crowd was hot. Let's go, Cena. AJ Styles chance for like 3 minutes before they even touched anything in this one.
I tweeted my friend. I sent a message over Skype to my friend. When, you know, was in the middle of the posturing and the chanting, I went, finger poke of doom, 1, 2, 3.
I saw that on Twitter as well, so.
Okay.
That would have been funny. It would
have been hysterical. The internet wrestling community would have been like hell unleashed, but it would have been funny.
Would have been funny. Really would have been funny. So we get to this matchup, and they just went at it. And the one takeaway I got from a majority of this matchup is AJ Styles knew a counter for every move of the 5 moves of Doom.
Yeah, you'd think someone would by now.
You would think after all this time, people would learn them. And AJ Styles learned all the moves to counter.
You know, if you, I've been saying it for years. If you take 3 shoulder blocks in a row from Cena, don't stand up and take a right swing at him. It never works.
It's just nature. You just swing your arm.
You'd think, like, if someone would just throw a left hook, it completely fucks Cena over.
It almost did in this matchup, because there was one spot where he was going for the spin out, and AJ went the wrong way, and Cena was like, you're supposed to go the other way! He had to turn him around to get him up for the spin out. It was there. So we had a suplex counter. AJ got back in the ring. Flying forearm. No AA calf killer. We were seeing a minute earlier called the spot. So everyone could hear it.
Yeah, this is kind of a... Yeah, that's Cena.
It's Cena.
You don't follow Botchamania. There is a segment for all the times you can hear them call their spots. And oh my god, do they have material tonight. But there's also a specific segment just for Cena. Because Cena is loud.
A little bit loud.
Tonight I said a blind man could probably follow this pay-per-view.
Well, they're helping out blind people with porn. So Cena's helping them out with wrestling.
Oh dear god.
And Mike's helping out with the porn as well.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So, really good stuff all around with these two. It boiled down to, we had a slingshot 450, not a shooting star.
No Cole.
It's not a shooting star.
Just because they go flipping off the turnbuckle does not make it a shooting star.
Yeah. There was one awkward spot where Cena did his leg drop dive and into a powerbomb.
Yeah, that was a little mistimed.
Cena's trying. I'll give him that. He's trying to hang.
He's trying.
In fact, he's trying so hard, he did a monkey flip in the beginning of this match.
Yeah.
That's how hard he's trying.
He's not trying to stunner anymore.
No, he's just trying to kill himself.
Springboard stunner, I don't think he got all of it.
He didn't.
He never did.
Except in the video game, which he hits it. It's awkward, but he hits it.
Defies physics, but he hits it.
So, slingshot 450, no. Counter with knees up, Styles Clash, no AA, no Pele, no forearm, no AA. Ref bump! Then he actually hits the AA. This is where the club shows up. Hits the magic killer, the deadliest finisher of them all. And AJ Styles picks up the win. And the internet went, oh my god, after all this time, you couldn't put AJ Styles over clean?
He's the bad guy!
It was the first comment I read after the thing.
It sets up the rematch. This is how pro wrestling works.
Heels cheat. Faces don't. AJ, heel.
When you have a faction, the faction interferes.
It was...
See, any time in Triple H's career...
Triple H.
Hashtag Triple H movement.
Fuck you.
So yeah, I really enjoyed this match. What about you guys?
This was good. Like throughout the match, Cena seems like he was a step behind, and I was debating whether it was ring rust or whether Cena's actually just really good at portraying this.
Since this is basically his first match in 6 months. Yeah, a little ring rust.
A little ring rust, but like the story of the match is, he's having a hard time hanging in with AJ Styles of the new era. The new era being the guy who is a month and a half younger than him.
Shh.
Don't. La la la, fingers in my ear, la la la. New era. It was a good match though. Like, you could definitely tell they could do more. Mm-hmm. Especially, Cena was intentionally, I believe, a step behind AJ.
And it'll play into the second match. What do you think, Mike?
Here's... make it so bad. Okay. You talked about the ring rust. And I know you've heard it. I know all of us can hear it. Stop talking spots, Cena. I get it. You're not AJ Styles. The fact that you had to literally go out your element... And wrestle. I'm not talking about, I'm John Cena, ruthless aggression type wrestling. He had to wrestle. Excuse my French, nigga, but this ain't WWE. This is AJ Styles. You do realize you gotta step your game up. You have the new era. So, what you gonna do? You gonna stick with the five moves of doom? Or you gonna try and quote unquote portray John Cena, the wrestler? So, the one thing I can say about this match, John Cena actually wrestled.
Well, to be fair, in the last, 16, 18 months, Cena's done a lot of good wrestling. When he was U.S. champion, he had some phenomenal matches. Just saying.
That may be so, but I mean, I can't even say that. It's just a fact to me, it's Xena. It's like, oh god, five moves of doom. Wait, that's six. Wait, that's seven. Wait, that's 12. What the hell? Oh, okay. Give him something. Give him what he wants. What does John Cena want? A heel turn. But we're not going to get that because he's the face of the company. Anyway, next match.
Well, it's that time of the show. We plug shows. Call commercials. We'll be back with more WTR Sunday Night live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Talk all about Dean Ambrose. We'll be right back.
We some southern boys with the final strength. Ain't nobody man enough to feel the pain. And you can be next, you better give respect. Cause ain't nobody breaking this redneck. No, they don't want none. No, they don't want none. They don't want none. No, they don't want none. They don't want none. No, they don't want none.
Thursday nights, The Rock lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rock. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns.
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw with me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
and welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live across the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network and Tune In Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network when you get the app in the Google Play or iTunes Store. And tonight's show is presented by the Appliance Guys, discount household appliances serving the Calgary area. Call 403-903-8083. Check out the Appliance Guys. That's 403-903-8083. Now, we're back to talk about the moment that has everyone going crazy. And that's the United States Championship. Rusev versus Titus O'Neil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We reeled that happened.
The match that we admitted we already forgot about.
Yeah, that's a match we forgot about. Yeah. I want to get it out of the way. It was a match. It was a big guy match. Rusev crushed. Titus tapped. Rusev then walked over to his kid and said, "You see your father? He's a loser. Happy Father's Day." Which was amazing.
Oh my God. He showed actual heel work other than "I'm Russian booga booga."
I'm Russian booga. Okay.
That wasn't his character for the longest time.
No, he started to become a thing. It's kind of awesome to watch Rusev grow as a character. When they let him talk, he's actually pretty damn good.
Well, maybe the beginning of something.
It may be the beginning of something. Just get him away from Titus O'Neil. And I think hopefully that will put an end to Titus O'Neil.
Darren Young comes for revenge.
We're making him great again.
Dear God.
Bob Backlund trotting him out. Varsity jacket on.
Can we not?
Omega, that was wrong of you. Very, very wrong of you.
I didn't Photoshop it.
I know. We're going to leave that one alone. Money in the Bank ladder match. Dean Ambrose, Chris Jericho, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Del Rio, and Cesaro. Hell of a match.
This is a proper Money in the Bank where the spots fly and everyone's near death.
One thing I caught early on, and I like this, they were just piles of ladders all around ringside. Not stacked up, just there's a bunch here and a bunch here and a bunch there.
Mm-hmm.
These are all the ladders. You don't have to pull them out from underneath the ring. They're right there for you.
I am happy to see a mass ladder match where they did not have a gimmicked wooden one painted silver.
Which is interesting. They did a Facebook Live video about the warehouse, and they show you that they're not wood. They show you a broken one that's not wood.
Except we see sawdust when they break.
I get this, but they're trying to discredit that it's wood. They're real ladders.
Sawdust.
Stardust or sawdust?
Sawdust.
Okay.
Metal doesn't have sawdust.
And right off the bat, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn went, "Hi, let's go."
Because of course they did.
Let's fight.
That's going to be like Sergeant Slaughter, Iron Sheik levels of this feud never ends.
One spot I like was Kevin Owens teasing the running up the ladder, but then went, super kick.
Okay, I said it before, I kind of wanted Owens to win this match just because I thought he'd be an amazing troll with that briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
This is troll. This is like one of his favorite spots to do, where he gets the crowd psyched up for some big off-the-ladder spot and then just sidesteps and punches the guy or something.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love it.
It's great. So, we all know about the number 69 and Chris Jericho's thumbtacks.
Okay, yeah. Jericho, PG television, maybe not scream 69 over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I understand the context, but maybe you want to tack a couple more on there? I didn't mean to pun that. I'm sorry.
But it worked out that way. I did like him bringing it up, and I'm going to hit you 69 times with this ladder. And I think he got like 6 or 7 before he got stopped, which was, yeah, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We then had Uppercut City.
Which is a thing now, apparently.
It is a thing. As he just went from corner to corner to corner to corner, hitting people.
By the way, this match convinced me that Cesaro is not human.
Yeah.
He is some cyborg sent from the future. I swear to God, aside from just being just like freakish in this match, he was hitting shit. Like, it's the kind of shit Sin Cara probably looked at backstage going, "I would break so many bones." So in one spot, he has one spot where his climb up the ladder gets, where he just got done getting the Del Rio armbar through the ladder.
Yeah.
And once he breaks out, he jumps onto the ropes, springboards off the middle rope, and corkscrews backwards into his spinning uppercut, hits it perfectly.
Superhuman.
You're a cyborg. You programmed that.
So Owens would stop Cesaro's Uppercut City, throw him into a ladder, and it turned into Cannonball City. Everyone got a cannonball. So Cesaro did 15 of them. Owens, after like 3 or 4, got winded. It's like, I'm done. So Sami Zayn was, I believe, caught on the corner for a while, and it's like, oh god, now Del Rio has the ladder, it's not gonna be good for him. He would eventually get dumped out, and then Cesaro had the unfortunate pleasure of taking the double stomp onto the ladder.
To be fair, like, the one circumstance where the double stomp actually works.
Right, it did hold him up. It held him up. He did not have to pull himself up like an idiot.
No, but he did have to make it look like the ladder was holding him up, because it was clearly trying to give away.
Yeah, it was.
So credit to him. He was doing what he could to save the spot that typically could not be saved in the first place. I hate that stomp.
And then what really, really they got lucky on was the double stomp to Jericho's back.
Yeah.
Jericho got lucky on that one. I thought he might have actually gotten hurt a little bit, but he was okay.
Won't be the first time you thought that about someone in this match.
And it won't be this last.
So we talked about the springboard uppercut. We had Dirty Deeds. Jericho runs up the ladder. Dean stops him. Codebreaker. We had Backstabber at one point to Owens as he was climbing with giant swings, and Jericho got swung into a ladder.
Ow.
Ouch.
I did love the timing of that, because you could tell the crowd was still waiting to chant 6.
Mm-hmm. And then he went right into the ladder. Dean did his diving elbow from mostly the top of the ladder. He came down a couple rungs. He didn't do it directly from the top. I thought it was nice with Kevin Owens did his frog splash onto a ladder.
Yeah, that was good.
And then the ow my back spot. The Michinoku driver onto the ladder. Oh my god.
Sammy, can you please not try to murder him every single ladder match?
But you gotta remember, this is Kevin and Sammy. Think of Ring of Honor, guys.
Oh, I know.
But
these two are also best friends in real life. And I'm like, stop murdering him.
We like him. Stop it.
Every time you do a spot to him on a ladder, he looks dead.
Yeah,
I've never seen a move delivered onto that part of the ladder. Like the absolute top where there is no give. And there isn't even much surface to hit.
Just all pain.
Fuck.
Just a lot of pain.
Kevin was just done.
Sammy climbs. Del Rio then has the ladder and just smashes him with it over and over and over again.
Flimsy little wax, quack, quack. What?
And then we got creative with ladders. Started building.
It's time to play Minecraft, ladies and gentlemen.
So we have the one ladder standing, two ladders get wedged, and then everyone starts climbing and fighting and punching.
I fucking hate spots like this. This is like the most contrived shit you could do in a ladder match.
The only thing I'm thinking is, someone don't slip, don't slip. Don't slip, because you really hurt yourself on that spot.
Yeah. I'm thinking ladder don't slip.
That too, because one of them really didn't look like it was all the way in.
No. Like, that's a long way to go. You got 3 ladders to clear that distance, and you know they measured that out to make sure, okay, these 3 ladders and this works?
Mm-hmm.
But holy shit, that looked really precarious. And in no way looked like something logical human beings would actually do.
So we had Dirty Deeds with Jericho hanging like it's an Randy Orton DDT. Kevin Owens stops Sami Zayn, powerbomb onto the ladder by Owens. It's a little bit of payback. Owens then screams, "It's mine!" He starts climbing for the belt, or the briefcase. Dean Ambrose stops him. Then you're thinking, okay, someone's gonna stop Dean. Someone's gonna stop Dean. Nope.
No one stops Dean.
No one stopped Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose wins Money in the Bank.
I will admit, I did not think WWE would let him have the win.
After Monday, and they went straight on telling us he was going to do it.
Foreshadowing, because people didn't believe it. Because
it never happened. When they tell us something on Raw, It never happens on the show. Well, Dean Ambrose won Money in the Bank.
And it happened.
He really won Money in the Bank. That's...
Kalisto in the back shaking his head.
This was a huge win for him. This was a great match, too.
It's a spot monkey match, to be sure, but there were some really good ones. And some really hideous ones. Like, Del Rio fell off of the ladder on one of those spots, and I, like, hit everything on the way down the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I seriously want to know if he's okay. For more reasons than
walking.
He's supposed to earn me points.
Hashtag points. This was a great match. One of the better Money in the Bank matches. This is delivered every way, shape, and possible. One of the big three matches on the show. This one delivered. So did Cena and AJ. But I think this was a little bit above that one.
This one, they were pulling out all the stops because it's the match that the whole event is named after. You kind of have to pull out all the stops. Whereas AJ and Cena are obviously taking this to series, so we've got plenty more to do there.
And with the six people involved, you really didn't expect anything less.
No. You got some of the best on the roster in that match.
Mm-hmm.
And Del Rio.
Main event time for the WWE World Heavyweight title. Roman Reigns, everyone boo. And Seth Rollins, everyone cheer. But it's supposed to be the other way around. It's just a thing. So one thing I noticed through part of this matchup, Rollins' offense was slap, 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 kick, 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 kick. It was part of his offense in this match. They had a good match. At 10:50, you're like, oh, okay. All right, they're going on. They put Roman in such bad positions. The crowd's tired now. So let's throw Roman out there. But I thought they had a pretty good match. Sit-down Razor's Edge is becoming a move for Roman Reigns.
Which is good, because it's a powerful-looking move.
It is. It goes back to the Shield days with the powerbomb, so he kind of needed that back in his moveset. We had some big dives, clearly showing us Seth Rollins' knee is okay. There's one spot where he did a springboard and landed on his leg. He's like, all right, like, good. All right.
He's good. Yeah. He's okay.
We're good.
Yeah, he did the sunset flip out of the corner, too.
He did that as well.
That's the spot that blew his knee.
Yeah. Yeah, he even did leaping knee. He did a frog splash, got a lot of height on it and distance. Then it was the tease knee break spot, turnbuckle powerbomb, super kick, superplex, rolled through the Falcon Arrow, which they actually called the Falcon Arrow, which they never actually called a Falcon Arrow, but they did tonight. We then had Superman punch, no super kick, turnbuckle powerbomb, which came right into the Superman punch.
Why would you go back to the turnbuckle powerbomb?
Because it's a thing.
You only ended the career of one of the most prominent pro wrestlers of all time. I think you retire the move after that, maybe?
They already took away the curb stomp. They can't take away all his moves.
Like, you just give him another one of Triple H's moves.
The Spinebuster?
You know, he can do that knee smash now.
Since he is wearing a knee brace.
Yeah, he's wearing an Austin-style knee brace under the tights.
So, could pull it out. It would hurt more. So, we get Superman punch for a two count. Roman went for a spear on the outside. Rollins move, and Roman crashed into the barricade. And then, the medics. All the medics come out. Roman's hurt! Let's go get him! So they ignore that. Roman gets brought in the ring by Rollins. Pedigree, rough bump. We then have the spear for a two count. Roman goes for the spear. Countered into a pedigree for a two count, and then he hit the powerbomb again, the pedigree again. He hit it a second time. 1, 2, 3, Seth Rollins is the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Roman Reigns still can't beat Seth Rollins.
And the crowd did rejoice.
They were so happy.
That the villain won.
They were so happy. So Seth Rollins celebrates, and then you hear Dean Ambrose music hit, and everyone's looking at the stage. Where's Ambrose? Where's Ambrose? He's not at the stage. He comes from behind, smashes Rollins in the back with the briefcase, and then he cashes in the briefcase.
So thought in the heads, and we even put it out there a few times over the week on these shows.
Uh-huh.
I didn't genuinely think they had the balls to pull this shit.
They said it on Raw, what if I do it? And even in the teaser at the beginning of the show, they put it out there. could it happen? Dirty Deeds. 1, 2, 3. Your new WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Dean Ambrose. Holy wow. shit.
Wow. So, how we doing?
How are you, Internet? Are you happy today?
How many underwear have you gone through?
That became a thing, guys.
That became a hell of a thing. Like, that's the one thing where I didn't, like, because they had such good opportunities to put it on Dean and they did not take advantage of them, I started to really worry that he would get left behind. Like, as popular as he is and as good as he is, I was genuinely worried it would not go recognized.
But the look on Dean Ambrose's face when he knows that he has to defend it against Brock Lesnar.
You mean WWE superstar Brock Lesnar, who's competing at UFC 200?
That apparently they're allowing him to use that theme song for UFC.
They are, and they actually called him WWE superstar in the teaser.
Hey, it's good promotion.
It's a great promotional opportunity.
So, gentlemen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, in literally the span of like 3 minutes, all three members of the Shield held the World Heavyweight Championship.
Mm-hmm.
They did.
This is bizarre.
That became a thing.
That became a huge thing.
Didn't think it would happen.
No. No. This is WWE, like, every now and then reminding me, yeah, they are crazy enough to pull anything. They just don't like to do it anymore.
No, Vince took a Father's Day off, so yeah. Triple H took over.
Yeah. Considering this means the main event was three NXT guys, that doesn't surprise me.
So, all week long, the betting odds were favoring Roman Reigns. Read this morning, the odds shifted to Seth Rollins winning the champ. All right, cool. I picked Rollins to pick him. Cool. Rollins could be champion. All right. And then Dean Ambrose. The Dean Ambrose became a thing.
Who picked Ambrose in the draft?
That would be Lindsay.
Lindsay won tonight. I had a nice, comfortable, bordering on commanding lead going into tonight. And then all the things happened.
For this week only, she earned 57 points just
Jesus.
For...
Jesus motherfucking Christ.
Just for Dean Ambrose. Just for Dean Ambrose. Because he won Money in the Bank, it was a network win, then he won again, winning the title, so that's another network win. Winning 10 points for the title, 20 points for cashing in, 10 points for winning Money in the Bank, and 1 point for showing up.
Can so you just, winning. Like, introduce her on the rack next episode to Brock Lesnar's theme music?
May have to do that. You have to do that. Maybe come a thing.
That's the undertaking. That's the undertaking.
Meanwhile, I think I earned 1 point tonight.
Probably. I don't know for the night, but I can tell you for the week, you had 17 points. I had 24. Tim
it's
was looking
50.
I know. Tim was looking real good. He got a title win with Seth Rollins.
But then he had
Roman lose to -10, and then. Another -10 for Rollins losing said championship. He ended up with 6 points for the week. Lindsay overall for the week had 68 points. Mike, you had a respectable 14 points for the week.
Okay.
So everyone was very, very close until the Money in the Bank cash in and title
like
win.
Some
So I'm supposed to, because I'm being screamed at on Skype, Tim called this. The Dean Ambrose thing.
Good for you, Tim.
The thing of it is, was that we all...
You had, heads. Tim, good for you. You had 2 title losses tonight. Good job on picking Reigns and Rollins.
Renee Young is very, very happy of her man right now.
Oh, I have seen.
Oh, Renee's gonna get some tonight.
Dean Ambrose, the only person who did not take a nut shot in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Because he knew he was going to get some.
Look, I'm going to need these later, guys.
Because Cesaro took one, Del Rio took one. Yeah, a few people did, yeah. It's a thing.
Titty Master, clap, 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 clap.
Oh, he goes, yeah, fuck off. So, talk about the grades in a second for the pay-per-view. Vincent Melendez went 8-2. He was the number one overall for Pick'em. 2K16 went 7-3. So the sim kind of worked. And
wow.
Rob also went 7-3. Going all the way down to 18th was the random picker went 2-3 because someone only did half the picks. The random picking thing. Awesome. Subway went 1-9. Tim, myself, Michael, Chris Pierce, Tommy C went 6-4. Starstream Josh went 6-3. Omega Lindsay, Amy, Aaron Frost, and Sheila went 5-5. The 8-Ball went 4-6. Matt went 3-2. Heartbreak Mike went 2-8. at least you were ahead of sub. At least you were ahead of him on that one. So, overall, this pay-per-view, I don't think it was the greatest Money in the Bank pay-per-view of all time, but it had some great moments.
The only thing I can say, Money in the Bank was a thing. That's the only way that I can describe it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this is a pay-per-view that had some good spots, but it also had a lot of what really felt like filler.
Especially,
you know, your matches that didn't feel, or that just weren't properly built, so they didn't feel any better than like something I would have seen on Raw.
You mean like the two matches that were supposed to be on kickoff that ended up on the
there
front,
you go.
On,
yeah,
on the
like main. Those.
Yeah.
And we also had a sloppy as fuck tag team title match,
which I thought was going to be better.
It should have been, because you know you've got a lot of good people in that match,
mm-hmm.
but. You know, sometimes, like, doesn't matter how good they are, they just might not gel.
And we learned
that trouble in paradise.
A lot of people screwed up in that one, to say the least. So, Mike, how would you grade this pay-per-view?
B minus.
Omega, how would you grade this one?
I would give it a C. This is perfectly average with some really good spots and some really bad spots. I will elevate it to a B minus due to the shock factor of how the event ended.
Yeah, I would give this a B minus, B, somewhere around there. Go with B. It's alright. The three big matches that needed to deliver, I would say delivered, and that's what you usually pay for, and we got it. So, overall, good show. Go see it on the WWE Network. Almost hour and a half, 3.5 hours, and add the pre-show about 4.5 hours. they're getting long.
They are. They are. It's getting a little bit exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's longer, the all-time greatest or pay-per-views. not sure.
Edit all the all-time greatest for one event together and just see if it does come close to the length of one of these pay-per-views. Cover 4.5 hours.
Maybe. It might actually come close to that one. Speaking of the all-time greatest, let's do that.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now! Fitting on this night, Alberto Del Rio cashes in on CM Punk in 2011, taking on Hulk Hogan versus Shawn Michaels in 2005, Omega.
No question here. It is Shawn and Hogan putting on one of the most unintentionally hilarious matches of all time. Especially if you are a snarky internet smart mark. And no Hogan's ego and must-win matches versus HBK's... You know, even though he's reformed Christian, he still has the 90s level of I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Not the greatest match of all time, but one of the most entertaining.
It was a moment. That's what this is about. Not match quality, moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave us moments in that match.
Yeah, it's the match that convinced me that ragdoll physics are real.
All right, Mike, what do you think?
Shawn Michaels versus... by far one of the greatest Supercell matches of all time. Hilarious, but yes.
So there you go on that one. We turned it over to the people, and they went 100% with Shawn Michaels and Hulk Hogan. No surprise on that one.
Del Rio can't win tonight.
No, he can't. Barry Horowitz beat Skip in 1995, taking on Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect in 1991. Mike?
Bret Hart takes on Mr. Perfect.
Any particular reason?
Bret, it's... You got Bret Hart, and then you have Mr. Perfect, two technical wrestlers that are able to adapt in any style. And just seeing them go at it, amazing.
Omega?
You know, congratulations, Barry. You finally won a match.
Are you going to give him a pat on the back?
A pat on the back, but not a win. Not a win here.
Why are you hate? Why are you hating on the Jews, man?
Whoa.
Kidding. He was the most proud Jew of them all.
I ain't hating on the Hebrew hammer.
Not the Hebrew hammer, Jesus.
It has to be Brett and Perfect. It's a technical masterpiece.
Tim also says Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect on that one. But we turn it over to the people to give them a vote as well. 57% of the people went with Barry Horowitz beating Skip.
Wow.
I have to mention Perfect wrestling with a fucked up back. That was a comment from Tim in the peanut gallery on that one. So Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect move on that one. Next week, the all-time greatest, Owen Hart breaks Steve Austin's neck against the first ever TLC match. And then Macho marries Miss Elizabeth against Brock Lesnar dominating John Cena. It's next week in the all-time greatest.
Oh, two of my favorite moments beside each other.
We know someone's going to have a struggle.
Do I go with a moment of pure bliss and happiness or the wedding?
Cliffhanger for next week. But now, quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
In honor of Father's Day, we'll start with Mike. Mike, who is the all-time greatest TV dad?
Oh, God, this is a racist joke.
How is this a racist joke?
Because you said television. Uncle Phil from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Why?
Because he was street smart as well as book smart, and he had time to discipline, but he also thought like a young person, but he was real down to earth.
And he also played the Shredder.
Yep.
Omega, same question.
God, I've seen way, way too many TV shows. I will go a stock answer and say Danny Tanner. Like, he was that, like, ultimate wholesome father, and he still had, like, you know, he had the single father thing going on, too. Not to mention, when you find out the kind of humor he really enjoys,
mm-hmm.
The kind of comedian he really is, Danny Tanner gets so much more enjoyable.
Bob Saget, really, 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 really dirty.
Yeah.
Complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah. It's a Jekyll and Hyde thing. It's amazing.
And Mike, what wrestler would make the best dad?
That would make the best. Do they have to be alive? Do they have to be still living, or it can be any wrestler?
Go any wrestler.
I would have to say
Hulk Hogan.
God, no. We know
motion on the back, Dad.
We know how that happened. Hogan is best. I actually would have to say Mick Foley.
Reason?
I'm sorry. No. Let me retract that. Can it be a manager?
Yes.
Paul Heyman. For the simple fact is that he can teach you so much about the business, but he can also learn how to multitask. He can be a father, but he can also maintain his wrestling business. And I do believe that he would be a good father and a successful person. And I really think that if he could, he would have his children work for wrestling.
Omega, same question.
The Undertaker.
What?
Elaborate.
I was a kid who got bullied almost every day in school. If my dad was the 7-foot undefeatable zombie man from pro wrestling, no one would fuck with me ever.
Right. Yeah, right. He can be the zombie guy. Next thing you know, you and him are like in the house. You kick his ass. No. Don't come back in this house. You kick his ass.
It's not quite like that. But you know what? If someone's fucking with me at school, I wouldn't mind seeing them tombstoned. Just saying.
Lights go out, gong, you know.
Little shit buried in the sandbox.
You think it's a school bell.
And shame on you both. Disrespecting Titus O'Neil, Father of the Year.
Loser.
Bitch, where?
Oh, I keep saying he's Father of the Year.
Not my father of the year.
Not my father of the year either. He ain't my daddy.
That'll do it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I have to give this shout out to the Appliance Guys, Discount Household Appliance, serving the Calgary area. Call 403-903-8083. That being said, tomorrow night, Sorrel Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll recap everything that goes down on probably what will be a very, very newsworthy edition of Monday Night Raw. Thursday night is another edition of The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap Money in the Bank, NXT, and beyond, and update you on the Jerry Lawler situation as well, because that's going to get interesting tomorrow. It's Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern, at Rack Radio Show, Facebook, Twitter.
Oh, yeah, Jerry Lawler got arrested, by the way.
Yeah, it happened. It happened.
Just so we mentioned it on the show.
Yeah, he got arrested. Twitter, Facebook, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher.com, YouTube.com/RackRadioShow. It's all there. Search it all out, RackRadioShow.com. Lindsay on Twitter, at LindsWard, LNSWAD. Check out her artwork at Behance.net/LindsWard. Same as the Twitter. Saturday night, midnight edition, CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Go back and listen to last night's episode where we tried to go through the list of the top 100 movies, comedy movies of all time. CB Radio Live, Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies. We'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Tim Stein will be back on the air leading the show as they cover the week in pro wrestling at WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. Go to WrestleTalkRadio.com during the week to vote in the all-time greatest. I'm at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim's on Twitter, at Flames Forums. He's Men Chefs on the Facebooks. Become his friend. He needs friends, so add him on Facebook and be his friend. Mike, you're on the Twitter.
I am on the Twitter. Turn it to me, the WTR Oreo on Twitter, and add me, and I'll add you back. Yes. For those of you, I'm also going to be talking about this week on my Twitter, the journey of Cody Rhodes. I already know where his first stop is, and I know where his second stop is, so I will let you all know that tomorrow.
There you go. Omega, surviving, but needs your help.
Barely.
Watch his stuff on YouTube. He needs your help because in about, I don't know, 10 days he'll be dead.
Yeah. Roughly. Go watch my stuff over at youtube.com/TJOmega because I need to survive for the rest of the month. And I need to shut up the stupid ads that want me to pay for sad puppies. It's going to take a lot.
Them some sad puppies.
Sad puppies. If you want to follow what I am doing and get an update on what exactly is driving me insane this month once it is finished, you can follow me over on Facebook at TJ Reviews, or you can follow me over on Twitter at TJ Omega. And when the Insanity Project is officially done, you could probably see it on TJOmega.org.
So again, this has been another edition of WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Tim Steinman returns next week. He'll be here as well. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Hope you enjoyed Money in the Bank, and we'll see you all week long along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.